Today my guest is Hadi Hariri. Hadi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Did I say your last name correctly?
Absolutely.
Okay. What do you do, Hadi?
What, right now?
Yes.
Suffering from jet lag.
You suffer from jet lag and you rant. That's what you do, right?
Rant.
Does that pay pretty well? Let's talk about your ranting.
Yeah.
Because I know jet lag. Jet lag, don't even talk about jet lag. Yeah. It took me 2 days to get here, 48 hours to get here from Chicago. So.
You flew United?
I flew United. I slept in the Vancouver airport a couple of nights ago on a bench. And I should be the one ranting, but I want to give you a chance to rant. Because you're famous for rant. I saw your talk in Stockholm last year where you ranted about the churn in the software industry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Someone said to me, well, I was at a conference somewhere in Austria or somewhere, and they're like, did you ever expect, you know, to like your silver bullet talk to be so successful? I said, well, think about it. You know, I've been giving talks on technology for the past 16, 17 years, and one of my most successful talks is me just ranting.
It was a very entertaining talk.
Well, there goes all my efforts in trying to learn technologies, right?
And you kind of joke in the talk. You say, this is a talk about nothing. It doesn't, you know, what's the point? There is no point. I told you. But there really is a point. The point is that there is no silver bullet, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I've been in this industry for a long time. And I think that my main point with that talk is I feel that sometimes we lose sight of what we're meant to be doing. Like, what is the idea of us having gotten into software, right?
Okay.
And instead of, you know, solving problems, we are, for people, like, you know, creating software to help whatever it is, whether it's to solve problems for people, whether it's to automate things, whatever does it for you. Do we lose sight of that and we become too involved in trying to play catch up to the latest technology, to the latest stacks?
Okay.
Right? You know, and it becomes to a point where are we actually just, you know, creating, like, doing software for the fact, so that's for the, like, our purpose has become upgrading to the next version of our framework, our language, our tool, or what have you.
Okay. You know? Well, that's fair. I mean, so I wrote a blog post to this a few years ago when I was a consultant, and the title was, Am I a Technologist?
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I concluded that, no, I'm not a technologist. I am a solver of business problems, and technology is one of the tools that I use to do that. But you're saying that people are not only focused on the tool, but which tool? That, like, if I just sprinkle a little bit more of this new framework on it,
exactly,
all my problems will be solved.
Yeah, and it becomes like, why am I using this new framework? Why am I migrating from X to Y?
Right.
Why am I doing it? You know, is it because this really does provide better business value in the long term? Is it justified, or is it my desire to learn? Am I justifying my willingness, you know, wanting to learn something new?
Sure. Getting the customer to pay for it.
Yeah, get the customer to pay for it. And I'm not, you know, I mean, I learn things every day, right? We all do. I'm not saying it's bad to learn, and I'm not saying it's bad to adopt new things, but, you know, let's really be honest about the reasons that we're doing these things.
Well, what should we be motivated by? What's in the ideal world? What should drive us?
I think what should drive us is actually the reason that we got into software to begin with. My personal reason was because I had a love for automating things. Mm-hmm. And when I started to, like, realize that through my love for automating things, I could make other people's lives easier, that's what started to drive me even more.
Okay.
Right? I just enjoyed solving issues for people. Right now, of course, unfortunately, you know, we're automating some people's jobs out of existence. Mm. But that was the driving factor for me. And I'm, you know, and I, when I talk to people, you know, from all over, most of them are also about that. They're about, I just like solving problems. I liked automation. I like helping people get their job done. Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, a lot of times we're losing sight of that. We're thinking more about, hey, you know, let me try this new framework because it's cool.
And the coolness alone isn't enough.
Yeah.
So the dilemma here is that in order to automate things, we need tools, we need software. That's the tools. Those are the tools that we use to automate things. And often the new framework will have some advantage, make it easier to automate. How do we balance that?
So let's see. How do we balance that? Let's say that, you know, I've got a project on, I don't know, ASP.NET web forms,
yes,
to name something.
That's
right?
That's a good example. The whole MVC web forms controversy of a few years ago.
Exactly. So you know, the question is, should I move to MVC? Why? Well, it's new. Well, it was new. We're talking like 5 years ago. It was new. It looked cleaner. It looked more testable. Mm-hmm. It looked this. It looked that. And then you think, okay, well, let me see. Look at web forms, right? Well, okay, I'm using MVP patterns, so I got this stuff separated. I can actually test this stuff. So the testing throws out the window. What else? Well, ASP.NET web forms isn't being maintained anymore. Okay, do I need anything new that actually my business needs? Nah, but, you know, do we actually ask these questions?
Sure.
Right? Do we say, what would it take me to rewrite this versus maybe integrate it with some new technology? Maybe just continue to do what I'm doing with this existing technology?
Right.
And I think that those questions, often we don't ask.
Okay.
And what's worse is, even if we do ask them, we don't go back and say, now let me do a retrospective on this and see, did it pay off? Right?
Mm. Okay.
You know, we're driven by this idea of, you know, the technology radars and influencers and speakers like us,
sure,
and consultants and everything coming and say, you need to use this awesome new technology, right? And because this is going to solve all your problems. Like, how many times did we hear that with WCF? I wrote a book about WCF. I was one of the guilty people going around saying, WCF is awesome. It's this new model that's going to save your life.
Right.
Right? And now people are like saying, oh, you're doing WCF? That's disgusting. That's like, oh, Jesus. You know, I don't think that. So the balance comes down to, let's actually ask those difficult questions. And let's push ourselves a little bit further and discovering, like, you know, is it worthwhile for us to throw out everything we have and rewrite everything from scratch?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a fair point. So the during my consulting days, I had the web form versus MVC question. I was a big MVC proponent. I loved MVC. I thought it was much better than web forms. But I never recommended anyone migrate from MVC to web, or from web forms to MVC, because it was just too much work. We couldn't justify the cost. New projects I would start in MVC. And then I'd become a fan of things like REST services and web API and things that make it easier to build REST web services. And so I never touch WCF. WCF, for me, I had to relearn it every time I used it. But I never, ever said, you need to throw away that WCF and rewrite the whole thing in web API or in Node or whatever. It's that's justifying that. So there's this trade-off here, which you know, is it an existing application versus is it a greenfield application, and that would drive a lot of what I was doing.
Yeah, but you know, and a lot of times as well, it's kind of like we base decisions on like other people are doing it. You know, it's all this. You know, well, I don't know. Walmart moved to Node.js.
Okay.
Microsoft's writing their editors, online Visual Studio Online in Node.js. Consequently, you know, if these large companies are doing it, Node.js must be a good thing and it must be the future, and let's all move to Node.js. Right?
I see. And that's enough.
Yeah, and it's funny because recently, a couple of days ago, there was a blog post by Uber, which had said the blog post was migrating from PostgreSQL to MySQL, right? And they'd laid out this, like, you know, 20-page blog post on why they migrated from Postgres to MySQL. And someone tweeted a blog post by Uber in 2013 that said migrating from MySQL to PostgreSQL, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So it's kind of, the tweet was like there and back again. Right?
That's job security. That's the beauty of the software industry. That's jobs.
We've created our self-sustaining industry.
You know all those jobs
industry.
That you eliminated by automation? That's offset by the amount.
Yeah, by the time there's a problem with the framework, we've come up with a new framework, and we'll just rewrite it in that framework. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not saying that we should all, you know, use legacy technology and we should never like, you know, look at new things. Quite the contrary. I think that, like, us as developers, as consultants, as whatever, we have to continuously be looking at new things.
Absolutely.
But we should justify why we're going to use those new things in a better way than just, well, this looks really cool. And
well, so what do you think is the key criteria? Somebody's listening to this and they think, well, here's this shiny new thing. Here's Angular 2 is coming out. I've invested all this in Angular 1. What's the criteria whether I start jumping to the new frame?
I think first and foremost
is JavaScript is a great example because it's we talk about a fast-paced technology stack. Yeah. That's every two.
Well, the churn there is
during
the screen
while we're talking three or four new frameworks. JavaScript
exactly. And you know, talking about JavaScript, we were you know, this whole thing with ASP.NET Core and the whole RC, the release candidate things, and how they kept changing some things despite being in RC.
Right.
And I wrote about that, and I got a lot of backlash from the JavaScript community saying, we do this all the time in JavaScript. I'm like, but it doesn't mean that it's an okay thing, right? You know, like, well, you're changing the meanings of certain phases in a life cycle of an application.
Sure, RC
right?
used to mean something, and it's become
exactly,
almost meaningless.
Exactly. And you know, you'd learn that, like, Google does the same with AngularJS. Mm. You know, they're in RC7 and they changed the whole routing model. Mm. Like, you don't do these things, you know, because you have certain level of responsibility towards those people that you are creating a framework for or whatever, right? So what is the criteria? I still think it boils down to, at the end of the day, what business value does this add?
Sure.
Right. That is
and
the first enforcement.
Bug.
Yeah. What is the
what is the business value? What is the cost of doing it?
Exactly. And let's try and analyze some of those things, right? And see if it makes sense from a business perspective for us to use and adopt this technology. And of course, what is the stage of that technology? You know, and I found that it's really funny. Like, depending on the community, things vary, right? So, for instance. You know, we at JetBrains, we released Kotlin, which is our open source programming language, right? Mm-hmm. And many people that I would talk to, and this is like the JVM ecosystem, right? So many people I would talk to, they would say, like, we love Kotlin, it's amazing, blah, 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 but we're waiting for 1.0. And I'm like, why? You know, we're using it in production and whatever. No, we're waiting for a 1.0. You know, we can't touch it until it's a 1.0.
I see.
1.0 hit and there was an immediate surge in adoption in Kotlin, right? And now in a JavaScript world, those same people that would say, I'm waiting for a 1.0 release for Kotlin, in a JavaScript world would use some technology that 0.05216. Right?
Not even a point one.
You know, and in the .NET world, we've also been kind of very conservative in the, you know, well, once it's released, once, especially things coming from Microsoft, which is kind of like, you know, when they give a go live license, you know, I won't touch it until it's got to go live.
Some people won't touch it until the first service pack comes out.
Exactly. And you see different behaviors in different communities. So in the JavaScript community, it's absolutely like, it's 0.07249, you know, depending on 25 packages that are each, some even got pulled away, remember, with the left pad stuff. So it's funny how things are different in different communities with that respect. So point being that, you know, how mature is a technology? You know, has it reached a point of, can I build on this? Because at the end of the day, again, it feels like we don't care about what comes afterwards, right? You know, I'm going to come here, I'm here for 3 years, I'm going to use this technology, you know, I'll be gone before this technology is gone, and whoever comes next, screw it, let them figure it out.
The long run, we're all gone.
Exactly. So, you know, the maturity of the technology, how long it's been around, who knows it. I think these are things to take into account.
Interesting. All right. And you're talking about this talk, the Silver Bullet talk. I know you're giving it here at NDC Sydney.
Yeah.
But this won't be online until after you give that talk. Where else are you speaking?
This one I'm doing, I think I'm doing it again in September in Java Zone in Norway, which is kind of like the NDC but in the Java world.
Okay.
And I can't remember where else. And the great thing about this talk is that every time I give it, there is new material.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are in such churn.
Oh, so even your talk is churning.
Oh, yeah. this version is going to have, we're going to be talking about serverless architectures as well, which is the new thing.
Those are going to solve everything.
Totally. And the best part is that, you know, you don't have any lock into, oh, apart from vendor, you don't have any lock in.
That's right. Any plans to come to the US?
Yeah, I'll be there for in September in San Francisco for Java 1.
Okay.
I was recently there for KCDC. Who you on there now?
I've never been to KCDC.
It's
Lee Brandt's an old friend. I keep meaning to go there.
Yeah.
And next year. Howdy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Technology churn isn't only in development. It's also how we interact with people. It's also how we interact with our friends. And we're going at such a fast pace that we're losing sight of some of the key and most important values in life.